Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 19 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, and her life. Today, we're talking about a fascinating new plastic surgery. It's called body contouring, and our expert is Dr. Jennifer Coppola. But before we begin, I want to make sure you know that this episode of Her is made possible by our friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized just for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, go to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And just a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes after our episode to rate this podcast and leave a review. We always welcome your thoughts. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind.
Her body.
Her life. It's all about Her.
Body contouring, smoothing things out after a long, long time of dropping weight and then having to, well, clean up the mess, the skin mess. We're going to be talking about this fascinating new subject with our expert, Dr. Jennifer Coppola, who is a plastic surgeon specializing in body contouring surgery. Her unique training has provided her with an exclusive skill set, along with the most up-to-date techniques in the specialty. She's a graduate of Columbia College with a Bachelor of Arts degree, medical degree from New York University School of Medicine with honors, a residency training at New York University, and she's one of the select few that has performed a fellowship in body contouring surgery with a leading pioneer in the field at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. Dr. Coppola, welcome to the Her podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Jennifer, you and I both met in an interesting situation, and that is I had read about your amazing work with a man who was known as the fattest man in the world. He was a gentleman whose name is Paul Mason, and he emanates from England, and he now lives in the United States, and he was knocking on 1,000 pounds. And after waiting 10 years for bariatric surgery in the UK, he finally did have his surgery. And at 6'4", he really was one of the luckier ones. He tended to drop the weight fairly quickly. His whole story, as he had dropped this weight, and I think he had dropped, by the time he saw you, I think it was about from 900 somewhat odd pounds, he had dropped at least 450 or so. Now he had all of this skin that hung around his body, everywhere on his body, and it made his life dysfunctional and it impaired his ability to be able to get anywhere. And you reached out volunteered to help him with this by performing a body contouring surgery. So first, thank you for doing such a wonderful giving back to the universe and being of service to this gentleman who would never be able to avail himself of this otherwise. So such a great thing you did. And the second thing is, we'd like to understand maybe what body contouring is relative to what happened to him. So stepping back a moment, tell us what body contouring involves.
You know, body contouring is actually, if you think about it, it's a restoration of form. So the body, after the large amount of weight gain and weight loss, has been so stretched. Most of us who have lost 10 pounds, you know, the skin generally retracts. You lost 15 pounds, 20. Maybe you have a little bit of loose skin. Pregnancy may have left us with a little bit more laxity, maybe some stretch marks. But in Paul's case, we're talking about a weight loss of over 600, almost 700 pounds. And if you can imagine, the body had been so stretched that when he lost that weight, he had skin hanging in places and areas that were inhibiting him from being able to just perform activities of daily function. So he was literally wheelchair bound because of the excess skin. So,
wow.
Yeah, so I think of that, to understand that is why I had reached out to Paul, because to me, something that I could do in a period of one operation and give this man his life back was sort of the ultimate of why I went into the profession. And that is to understand that excess skin is not just about the reminder of where you came from and that weight loss, which it is, and it's part of a journey. But the reality is that it can really interfere with our activity. So the most common thing that people see is something called a hanging panis. It's an apron of skin that's around the abdominal area, and that leads to rashes. It leads to all kind of hygiene issues. And so that's one aspect in particular that most people who have lost large amounts of weight will have to deal with. The other areas of excess skin, you know, the arms, the chest, the buttock, the thighs, it goes everywhere. But most of the time, the stomach is the primary area, and the other areas, for Paul in particular, I mean, you know, they refer to them as bat wings, but the excess skin that hung down from his arm was almost down to his waistline. So imagine every time you lift. Exactly. Every time you lift an arm and to do something, he had a few pounds, like probably about 4 pounds of skin just strapped onto him. So every time he was, imagine taking a 4 pound weight and putting it onto your arm, you know, each time to lift. So, you know, it's definitely about restoring form. So body contouring means different things for different people, particularly, you know, someone who is coming from being the most fit their whole life to having small areas that they just can't get rid of, to those people who have lost large amounts of weight, those people who have had children and been outstretched and they just can't get that body back. And so it's really, in my mind, not a cosmetic procedure. It's about restoring the form and function that the body once had and or should be in that place.
Wow. And I think that really helps put everything into context here. You know, when you're sitting back and you're saying, okay, wow, impairment, dysfunction. I think some people may just think body contouring is just some, you know, quick aesthetic, you know, procedure, and you'll look ever so, you know, wonderful in your size 4 jeans or something. But what you're saying is that this is really, in many respects, life-saving. You can't live a life if you can't get out of your wheelchair and move around. And certainly in Paul's case, which was an extreme case, that was an excellent example. So if you're looking at something like this, take us through what you actually do. We're going to walk into the OR with you.
Okay. So, so basically, a lot of what happens is actually before we even get into the operating room. So a lot of it is the planning and the pre-stages of, you know, really making sure that we hear a patient's goals and what they're trying to achieve and what it is that they want out of the operations, making sure we're on the same page because, you know, there's not one operation for every patient. And I think it's really important to understand that trying to meet a patient's goals is the top priority. In patients of massive weight loss in particular, there's more than one area that desires interest. So a lot of it is about staging procedures and figuring out what stages to do them in based on what their needs and desires are, as well as, of course, whether it's surgically appropriate. So that's where it all begins. And taking an example like Paul, he had multiple areas when he first came to me after losing, you know, about 650 pounds after the first when I first saw him. And in particular, the stomach area, so that hanging panis, what we talked about, as well as his legs. So his thighs were inhibiting his ability to walk and to be able to put his thighs together because the excess skin began trapping lymphedema, and it was continuing to swell. So his legs were outwardly rotated. He wasn't able to put them together to walk. So the primary focus was to get him functional and to get him mobile outside of a wheelchair. And so that was the primary target. We took on the stomach and the thighs at that time. And so we brought him into the operating room, pre-planned what the incisions were going to be, how that skin was going to come together. In particular with Paul, and many patients of massive weight loss, they're high risk. So they have things like abdominal hernias from potential previous surgeries or just weakness of the abdominal fascia from being outstretched. And so we come in prepared. We have general surgery as a backup if necessary. We have things that are always in our reach beforehand to make sure that we are well prepared in that operating room. And so we took Paul into the operating room, and we began actually with a four plastic surgeon approach. So we had four board certified, fully trained, with really a specialty in body contouring in that operating room. And each one of those vessels, as we came across them in the abdomen, was probably the size of some of the largest vessels that you and I have in our body. And that's because In order to feed that fat, those vessels became so enlarged. And when you lose the weight, they don't shrink. So in a person like Paul, who needed to be on blood thinners afterwards, just one of those vessels opening up could have led to, a life, a very scary situation. And so each one of those vessels, which we normally either cauterize or tie or clip, each one of those vessels got all three because we couldn't take any chances. And we probably came across 60 or 70 of them in the stomach. So,
Lord.
Right. So to understand, it's not your typical type of tummy tuck procedure, and I think of that as a lot of this is to understand that when we approach this and we take the excess skin away and we close, the skin back together, it's not, it's a very different technique than a cosmetic procedure. And a lot of it is not about contouring the abdomen and making it look as tight and flat as possible. It's really to restore the form and function of that abdominal wall. So not only do we get rid of the excess skin, but many times we also fix what's called a rectus diastasis. So there's a weakness of the muscles. The rectus muscles have separated from the midline, leading to a significant bulge. And the bulge, although not necessarily a problem, can have two things. One is that weakness can become a hole, which is then called a hernia. The umbilical area, which is the belly button, is the most common. Then there's ventral hernias, which can happen as well. So, so Paul had those things, as well as the weakness can lead to lower back pain. When you always say tighten your core, right, in order to improve lower back pain. Well, these people cannot tighten their core because their muscles are separated, and so they cannot actually do that. So in the operating room, we actually repair that by bringing the rectus muscles back to the midline, restoring the form of how the abdominal wall used to be, and repair any hernias that we come across at that time. So,
well, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
As you're describing this so beautifully, at what weight do you really see this kind of problem with separation of the abdominal muscle wall and the rest of it? Let's say, you look at a woman who, became pregnant and she put on, 35, and later on you're going to work with her to tighten things up. That's one thing. But what about, is it a 50-pound weight gain, 100-pound weight gain? Clearly, Paul is an extreme of all of this. But when do you really start running into these problems with muscle separation and the rest of it? Is there, because there's so much obesity out there, and a lot of people are wondering, wow, is that really going on with me right now as I sit here 75 pounds heavy?
Sure.
Heavier than I should be?
There is no number. The truth is that you just alluded to the woman who gained 35 pounds in her pregnancy, her stomach may be in the same circumstance as someone who lost the, 80, 100 pounds. Basically, it's about the stretching of that abdominal wall and how it retracts. So why do some people end up with more loose skin than others? We don't know. We can't predict. It's the skin elasticity. There's memory. There's all kinds of things we refer to. But yesterday, I did a young gentleman who lost 160 pounds. He had some loose skin, but definitely nothing compared to what we would see in other patients who lost 160 pounds. I actually didn't repair his muscle, which I was surprised when I got in there how his muscles were in the midline. He had no hernias, none of that. So it's hard to predict. A lot of it has to do with, you know, genetics and where we come from. So it's a tough answer, but I can tell you sometimes you see it in, you know, people who have only gained or lost 50 pounds. So there's no real number. But that being said, on physical exam, most of the time you can pick up a lot of these things and you can see the changes in the abdominal wall and you can feel them and you can get a sense of what needs to be done for a patient. So the exam.
In your gentleman that you just did mm-hmm. with the 160 pound weight reduction, how much skin did you remove and what does that weigh? I think a lot of my listeners have asked countless times, what goes on? I mean, is there, you know, I mean, are you dropping 20 pounds worth of, you know, skin? What happens?
Right. So, as you know, with Paul, we took off about 50 pounds of skin in that first operation. Now, 50 pounds of skin doesn't necessarily translate into 50 pounds of weight loss. And I actually tell patients to stay off the scale for 6 weeks because they're swelling. The body is re-equilibrating, right? So, So if you imagine when you remove that penis, it's still filled with blood and other things, the fluid, the volume of the body. So it weighs a lot. But the body is going to redistribute in an equilibrium. So it doesn't go pound for pound that what you take off will translate on a scale. Although Paul did drop a lot of weight after our first procedure. So it's a combination of what we take off along with what people do afterwards in terms of their, you know, sort of lifestyle habits afterwards. I hate the word diet because I think it's really about lifestyle change. And so if people really take good control after surgery, that 50-pound, you know, removal of skin can become, you know, 70 pounds on a scale, right? It's all about what we do with it afterwards. So understand, most people we don't remove 50 pounds. That was an exception. Probably in most people, we remove 7 to 10 pounds. That's a normal type of number to remove in large weight loss patients. And the body is in what's called a catabolic state after surgery, right? It's breaking things down and it's trying to heal. So your body is really in a great place to be able to then take off that additional weight if you're really good about changing your habits at that time. So that combination, I think, is why Paul ended up losing probably about 70 pounds after that first surgery because of everything that he went through.
Wow, that is amazing. You know, it's really important to talk to an expert like you because it's so rare to find someone who has done the fellowship and has the skills and experience now to really put in perspective what goes on. You know, with the lady who, you know, put on the 35 pounds with the pregnancy and the rest of it, one can only imagine there's not like a whole lot of skin hang in a big way. She's not going to walk away with 25 pounds less or something like this. But, you know, what I'm seeing in the work I do is on average a 100-pound weight reduction on average.
Amazing.
And so because of that, you know, a lot of them are asking these questions now. They're finding that, I'm just sending someone to a body contouring that's going to be taking place. And, you know, she's got a great sense of humor. She says, well, Dr. Peek, I knew there was a problem when I had dropped, in her case, about 144 pounds. And she says, when I do a plank, you know, on the floor, and the good news is I'm up in a plank. The bad news is my skin's still on the floor. it's like I've never left, you know.
Right,
and
right.
She says, I swear my core and everything else is up here in the air, but, you know, I'm doing this, you know, dragging on the, you know. And that was actually in the middle of a plank is when she decided to give a call and say, you know, I think it's time to do something with the skin thing. This is getting old.
And, you're alluding to something that's really important, and that is that a lot of people don't understand that it's something they can't fix on their own, that the excess skin
yes.
isn't going to go anywhere. And I think that most people feel, okay, I can just keep on doing this and keep losing the weight, or it's my fault, I still have fullness, therefore, it's not true. You know, that skin isn't going to go anywhere. If the skin has not retracted with the weight loss, it's not going to retract in the future, you know? And I think that people need to appreciate and understand that it is out of their control. They've done a phenomenal job with their weight loss. They have taken control of their life again. But this is a part they can't control. This is a part that they need help with.
Yeah, you know, Paul had work done all throughout his body. And, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. I know that with the abdominal body contouring and doing all of the very intricate work that you perform, that's one thing. But when you work with the legs, isn't that riskier? You know, I understand that he had quite, and a lot of people have a lot of excess skin that basically hangs over their knees and really makes walking kind of difficult.
Right. I think you're 100% right. So the thighs and the legs are certainly more challenging because just of gravity. So swelling happens, and as we stand on our legs, swelling wants to go to our feet and to the ankles and to the lower parts of our legs. And so when you are operating in the legs, for Paul in particular, the biggest risk was the fact that he had lymphedema. So his lymphatics were congested. He was getting continued and repeat infections. So you can end up with lymph leaks and other problems. So people who are suffering from lymphedema, you know, it's really important to try to get that under control as best we can prior to surgery. But I will say that I went in with apprehension, you know, worried that we would end up with a lymph leak or worried that we would have to deal with those things. Well, we didn't really have a choice, right? I mean, this was to improve him overall. And we were very fortunate that he recovered beautifully and he didn't have any, you know, infections. He didn't have any problems. He continues to suffer from lower extremity cellulitis that he gets from other reasons. But, you know, one of the big things you have to understand when you're doing thigh and leg surgery, there's large veins that are draining and allowing the blood to return back. And so if there's any venous incompetence, veins that aren't working well because of all the heaviness that the thighs had carried, or the fact that knees and joints have taken a hit because of all the weight that people have been carrying around, there are certain things we just can't change about the anatomy. We can change the skin, but we can't fix all those underlying things. And so it's a matter of really focusing and getting people into the best possible shape to, you know, move and to get those joints back and to get rid of that excess weight that they had to carry around to minimize, you know, what the everyday impact is on their lower extremity. So I think it's a combination of a lot of things, and it definitely comes at a higher risk than some of the other procedures that we do. Although arms are similar, right? We're constantly using our arms. We drop our arms to our side. They're very hard to just keep, you know, stranded in the air to decrease the swelling. So arms are challenging too, and they're trade-off all the time for scars across the arms, which tend to not heal as nicely as some of the other scars or take longer. So a lot of things that we choose to do in body contouring are trade-offs. And they have to be worth those trade-offs, and they have to be a good conversation with a patient to understand what they're trading for. So, you know, nothing comes without a price in that respect. And
when you're doing something like this with all of this going on, right? When you first meet with someone, and like your gentleman who dropped the 160 pounds, et cetera, do you have a conversation about, look, this is a one-way street. You can't gain this weight back again. This is a bad thing. If you have all of this surgery done, what happens if they regain?
Right. So actually, the rates of recidivism are been studied, and people who have invested in themselves and had surgery, whether it's a monetary investment or it's an investment in the fact that they have done something for themselves, the rates are very low. So I actually have not in my practice seen anyone go back after having the, you know, body contouring after the weight loss. But you're right. I mean, it's not so much a conversation of you can't do this again. It's more a conversation of Where are you? What is the lifestyle like? Is it conducive to this maintenance of this weight loss? And a lot of it, if you understand, we will not operate on patients until they have sort of been at a steady state, 5 pounds up or down, but a true steady state of weight loss for at least 6 months. So it helps us ensure that they've kind of plateaued and they're staying at that level. They're not gaining, they're not losing. Their body has reached that new homeostasis of where they're comfortable. So it gives us a little bit of that cushion. Sometimes we wait up to a year. If people are still, sort of bouncing around 20 pounds up and down, we'll wait and we'll make sure that they're in a good place. Can they gain the weight again? The answer is absolutely. But it's very rare for when people come to complete that journey with me or with a person, for having plastic surgery, it's very rare for them to look back. So I think once they've invested in themselves, because you can have a conversation, but the reality is that they have had to come full circle. This wasn't just about the weight. They had to undergo something that allowed them to overcome the issues that came along with why the weight came.
And this is really sobering. And, bringing this full circle here, I think it's really important for everyone out there to understand that there's no quick fix here. Number one, not putting on a significant amount of weight in the first place is so terribly important. I don't think people really fully realize anatomically what is going on with your body when your body now has to carry around an extra at least 100 pounds,
right.
Let alone in Paul's case, a heck of a lot more than that.
Right.
And people think that, well, okay, then I'll just drop some weight and, someone like Dr. Kaplow come along and make it all perfect again. So a lot of this is just, it's sobering to understand that there's risk with this, you're going to go through quite a journey. It's not easy. Clearly, we're so happy to have experts like Dr. Kaplow out there performing the body contouring. But to sit back and just say, look, let's not put the weight on in the first place, or certainly minimize it, and deal with a lot of these factors that initiated and ignited this overeating and binging in the first place, because it's a rough road ahead. It's not easy metabolically, physiologically, anatomically, all of those things. Just listening to you talk about the surgery, it's mind-boggling in many respects, especially with so many people now who are walking around with at least 100 pounds and greater. The number of people who are extreme obese has quadrupled in the last several years. That's the one sector that's just absolutely grown exponentially, let alone the fact that the mass majority of the American public is now overweight and obese. So, it's an interesting and amazing world that we got a chance to peer into, looking at body contouring, plastic surgery, with a real expert and a pioneer in this field. Dr. Jennifer Kaplow has been our expert, and you can learn more about her wonderful work at Dr. Jennifer Kaplow, that's spelled CAPLALA.com, DrJenniferKaplow.com. And Jennifer, thank you for being on her and gracing us, gifting us with this amazing information.
Thank you for having me and for allowing us to share the story of Paul, because I think he is certainly, the extreme case, but people can really learn and understand from him and translate it to a lot of other people that either themselves or people they know.
You got that right. Oh, boy. And so thank you. And it's wonderful working with you with Paul's case. I'm really very, very honored to, take that from here and now to help him metabolically reach his goal with his diet and in his physical activity. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Oh, boy, what a journey. Thank you once again. Hey, everyone out there, remember to catch every episode of HER. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And please take 30 seconds and rate this podcast on iTunes. Why? Well, because we want to attract more people just like you to the show. And that happens when you take the time to rate it. And while you're there, please leave a review because we really love to read them and hear from you. I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Follow me on Twitter at PamPeekMD, and you can also check out our HER show page at RadioMD.com and look at all of our past episodes. Grab them and enjoy them. Thanks for listening. Stay well.